Well, amen to that, Pastor Craig, and your encouragement you've given us this morning through just our time together as we go before the Lord in prayer and lift up the concerns, and thank you for your communication of that. Good morning. We're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are in a little three-part series. If you're visiting today or if you missed last week, this is part two, really, of this little three-part series that I entitled, Lord, Change My Thinking. That's the theme. That's what we're in. That's what we're going to be looking at. So get your Bibles out. Today is part two of the first message that we started last week. Why is it such a battle? So ask that question, you know, of yourself. Why is it so hard to change the way I think? Why is it so hard? Why is it such a battle to change my thinking on how I think about this and that and this and how I reason and those kind of things? That's what Paul is getting to in his text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 6. That's the subject Paul's taking up. It has to do with how people think and the challenge to change it. What people think about, what we think about God, what we think about God's word, God's truth, Christianity, life, reality, about yourself, and the battle to think rightly about all of that. That's what Paul's getting into. And so you'll remember, we took a poll last week, and we were all in agreement. Most of us, I had us raise our hands. We were just taking a poll, and I would say 95% of you agreed that that the Christian life is about growing in the knowledge of God. We agreed with that. It's about renewing our mind, about thinking the way God would want us to think, moving away from the way we used to think. It's about changing continually the way we live and changing continually what we live for to becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. We agreed with that. When you come to faith in Christ, when you come to saving faith and believing and trusting in God and God's provision for your salvation, however that is in your life, and you come repenting, do you not? You come repenting. That's the word of God. You have to repent. You have to repent of that life is about me. It's about God. You have to turn from serving self to serving the true living God. That's the word of God. That's the gospel that you share with people, is that Christ came to give his life, to died on a cross, to rescue, to redeem, to purchase you, to pay the penalty of your sin. And God wants you to acknowledge that, to believe in that, trust in that, and come in believing in the Lord, turning from self to turning from to serving God. And the word for repentance is a changing of mind. Before you were saved, you thought life was about you and all you would get. And when you came to faith in Christ, you recognized it was about God and all that God was doing. You had a change of thinking. It's repentance. Changing of your mind. Once you're saved, God began to change your thinking. That's what happens. That's what we talked about last week. As you seek to grow in the knowledge of God, which changes the way and purpose that you live for. The New Testament is all about that. We talked about that last week. If it's from Romans 12:2 that says, don't be shaped to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or if it's Colossians 3:10-11, put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created them. We're to wear the new self, wear the new life that God has given us, and God is at work in it, renovating or renewing us in us understanding the true knowledge of who we are in Christ and who God is as he works in that. Or it's 2 Corinthians 3:18, where you paraphrase it this way, as we behold the truth of Christ in the word of God, as we gaze into the glory of God, as we see it in his word and we apply it to our minds, what God has said in his word and apply it to our living. 2 Corinthians 3:8 says, God by his spirit is transforming us from one glory to one glory to one. It means one step to one step to one step to one step, and that we keep walking that way with the Lord. The New Testament all over the place says that this is what our life is about. This is what God is doing, that we are learning, we're growing, we're renewing the way we think, we're learning how to think. 1 Peter 1:14 would say it this way, as obedient children, do not be conformed, mind and action, what he's talking about, to the former lusts that were yours in your ignorance. Or if you want to look at Ephesians 4:17 and following, when Paul was writing to the church there, he said this, I say this to you, and affirm together with the Lord, that's pretty strong, that you're to walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, the way the lost walk. We're not to live that way. Walk meaning live. In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in him. We're not to walk ignorant anymore. The word of God is clear about talking to us. We're not to walk in a futility of our mind that we have some sort of futility. It doesn't really go anywhere. It doesn't really accomplish anything of God. It doesn't do any of that. God's word is all over the place in the New Testament talking about us in a continual mode and a continual action of that. We are renewing, we are growing in our thinking, in our understanding, in our reasoning, and it's changing. He would say next in verse 22 that in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the seed, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, I'm not finished being renewed. How about you? You know what? I like what we've been doing at church. We've been refurbishing, right? God is keep refurbishing us all the time, right? That'd be a good prayer, wouldn't it? Keep bringing the new and understanding that we have of you, bringing us, renewing our hearts and minds to the truth of God's word. Keep growing us in our understanding and our reasoning of God's truth. That's the Christian life, is it not? Help me. Sure is, isn't it? It's what we teach in Sunday school, is why we do the Sunday service, why we proclaim the word of God, why we have Bible studies, why we teach self-confrontation, because we're always to be growing in the knowledge of God, growing in the intimacy of our relationship with God, and that comes through God dealing with the way we think. It's all through the Bible. The New Testament affirms that life is about change, and you have to have real change, you have to think differently. You have to renew continually your mind. There's no plateau. Yes, there's growth, there's all of that, but there's no like, okay, I'll use the steps here. Okay, I came to the Lord, I have faith in him, and I understand something, and then, okay, if I get here, then I don't have to renew anything. Well, there's 100 more steps that way, guys. God didn't say this is where we ended, and then it wasn't here either. It's not here. It's just I'm growing. How do you grow in a relationship with your wife if you say that, okay, I learned these things from her, that's good enough, and that's all I want to know about her? It's a continual going, and that's the direction we're going, and that's what we're grabbing hold of. And what Paul is talking about here is the battle to do that in your life. You have to deal with your thinking. So in our text, if you're there with me, it's 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. Second part of this message we began to look at last week. Especially in 3 through 6, Paul describes the battle for the way or how people think. Listen to the word of God. Listen to what Paul's writing. We'll just read 3 through 6. Look at it with me. He says this. He's talking to the Corinthian church. I set up a lot of things last week in defending the apostolic authority, and in a sense, defending God's word, and that God's word is true, and we can't doubt God's word. But listen to what he says about the battle. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divinely powerful for destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations of every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You see in that the warfare, don't you? You see what Paul is writing here, talking to the Corinthians. You see all the words there, and soldier, and battle, and warfare, and we have weapons and all that kind of thing. Let me tell you something. We're not battling demons. That's not what we're fighting. Now, demons do work for the enemy of God, and they work in the system of the world, and they are progressing it and presenting it and that kind of thing, but I'm not fighting any demon. I'm not really fighting Satan. Satan has a system in the world that he's proclaiming and that he's embellishing and that he's setting out there to draw me away from God, to entice my flesh, but I'm not really fighting him. I'm not fighting people. Paul's saying, I'm not fighting people. This isn't a fleshly battle. This is not, what I'm fighting is right here, guys. That's what we're fighting. We're fighting for our mind. That's what God is talking about. What we believe, what we trust, what we know, what we understand, if it's going to be God and his truth or it's going to be the world's way or my own way. And Paul is saying, it's a battle, you guys. It's a war. Listen to this. It's a battle for the mind that has thoughts exalted in opposition to Scripture. That's what the battle's for in here. Obviously with the world, obviously with the unsaved, there is no thoughts that are going with the Scripture. So it's all opposing the Scripture. And so when you talk to the unsaved people or you talk to people that don't know Christ, it is absolutely a battle to try. And God is the only one that can take the gospel and pierce their heart. But let's apply this to ourselves. The battle is against the mind that has thoughts exalted in opposition to Scripture. A mind that has ways and purposes and reasonings exalted in opposition to Scripture. Look at verse 5a again. Here's the key to this whole text, and this is what Paul is talking about. The beginning of verse 5, he says, for we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We, that's we are. We're doing in our mind. See it there? That's the key. We are to be applying that to ourself. The law certainly it applies to, but we're applying to us. Although we are saved, all we are sanctified, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and we have God's new life, we all have thinking, thoughts, beliefs that lead us, that shape us, that conform us in opposition to Scripture. And we need God by His truth to pull them down. That's what Paul is teaching, and it's hard. It's a battle. It's a fight because of who we are and how it is. And that's what Paul is getting to and talking about. And to change, we need to change our thinking. Look at 5b. He says, here's the, and we'll get into this more next week when we talk about renewing our mind. We'll go right from here. But he says, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You see who he's talking about, me and you, right? That's what the application of it is here and how God's word is applying. We are to be destroying speculations of every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God in my thinking, my mind, my reasoning. And I'm to take them prisoner, those thoughts that are against God, and I'm to take them captive. I'm to arrest them, and I'm supposed to just go with obedience to Christ and his word. That's hard. We began to look at that last week. It's difficult. But like I said, this is why we follow God's commands and not our emotions. Emotions are wrong, but it's not why we don't follow. It's why we don't follow them. We got to change the way we think. It's why we preach the word and the word alone on Sunday. It's why we have Sunday service. It's why we have Bible studies, why we have Sunday schools, why we have devotionals, why you're to be in your God's word. You know, no one really alone really does this. We do this together in a sense. We grow in the knowledge of God to renew our minds, and it's a battle. So Paul described the battle. We began last week. Remember the first concept? It's on the front there. Battles that are not primary physical. This isn't a physical battle where we got physical answers in a sense. And that's the first concept that we looked at last week. It's in verse 3. Look what he says. He said this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That was pretty simple in what we were talking about last week. This is what the first concept was. It's not primary physical battle. It's a mental battle. We looked all through of that. You guys remember the tricycle story? When I was 5 years old and that little guy that was in my kindergarten class just kept going around and around on that tricycle. You know, I think about that now and I just think about, wow, how happy his mind was that we only got 3 laps and he was on lap 8 and 9. His mind must be going, this is like, whoa, I'm just having a great time, until this other little 5-year-old named Ken came out there and just flipped him off and he crashed and his head, blew, blood's running out. And then I'm on the bike going, oh, now it's my turn. You know, and then the teacher's like coming up like, Kenneth, you know, and then it's under the water fountain and all that. But see, I didn't really have a physical battle with this guy, did I? It was right up here that was going on. You right? Remember that illustration. That's what we're talking about. This isn't really a physical battle that we can just, you know what, if we take charge and we just get it. It's a mental battle of God's way and God's truth and the other way. So that's what we looked at last week. And it's a mental war, mental battle. So turn your outline over. Let's look at the other concepts today so we can finish this up. And really, in a sense, what we're doing as we go through this, we're preparing us. We're getting a lot here. There's a lot here, and it's ministering to our heart. But as we look at these first two messages, when we get to next week and we talk about, okay, now let's renew our mind then. You're going to understand the conflict going on. You're going to understand the war going on. But I'm going to say, I'm going to renew my mind. I don't want to be shaped by the world. And then, so God, how in your word have you laid out things for us that I can embrace, that I can grab hold of to, that will change my thinking? But if you don't understand the opposition to that, which is why we're talking about for 2 weeks, we don't really follow through with that. That's what I want to get to. So the first concept, it's not really a physical battle. The second one, my weapons are not readily accessible. Well, they are, Pastor Ken. My weapons are right there. Bang, bang, I got my weapons ready. Look what Paul says in verse 4. So verse 3 says, so we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. This isn't a physical battle. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. But get that, they're not of the flesh. Weapons are not of the flesh. That's important for us to understand. Real weapons are not quick to go to weapons. You remember the tricycle? What was the quick to go to weapon? Just go up there, flip them off. crash, I got the bike, I'm good. Well, that's a fleshly weapon, isn't it? Anytime that anybody is going against God's word, God's truth, God's way, it's going against anything that we have going on, anything like that. God never says, all right, here, take up the knife and go get him, right? You guys know the story of Peter, right? What do you think that's in the Bible for? It's in the Bible for one of the reasons is that God doesn't ask us to take up a weapon and just start cutting people's ears off and defending the Lord. The reasoning in our heart, the reasoning in our mind, but the reasoning there, we have to change that. We have to change our thinking. We are people that think, okay, we can just fix it in that way. We grab the weapons. Relationships, the mental battle there. What's the flesh weapon? Bitter, discontentment, disconnection. Give me an amen there, church. You ever grab that flesh weapon? How about in finances? Here's the flesh weapon, the mental battle and all this. I'll just borrow more. I won the battle. That's a flesh weapon. Let me give you another one. Look at the mental battle going on because of election. Look at it. Picking up flesh weapons. Are you fighting your thoughts? Let me tell you something. If your first thought in the battle is to reach for the flesh weapon, you lost. The battle's over. You lost. I'll tell these people a thing or two that just are going about this, about the president. Let me write on Facebook, you lost. You've already lost the battle. Because your flesh, the thing that you grab, that you're going to go straighten out the world, that you're going to hate or you're going to disconnect, you know what, I'm just going to ignore all those people that are hurting, that have no hope in the world, that have no rudder in their life, that are totally in despair going on, I'm just going to say, oh, bad people, I'm going to disconnect. You're losing the battle, folks, with this right here. Because that's not what God asked you to do or me to do, is it? Give me an amen. Right? But that's where we go. I just, you know what? End it all. Turn it all off. Let me go hide. You're losing. Because you are here to represent Jesus Christ, period. And so we got to change our thinking because we grab flesh weapons. We do. We have to own up to it. We have to acknowledge it. And your flesh weapon is no help. Mine isn't either. Anger, no help. No help at all. Oh, I'm smart. Let me tell you the answer to all that. That's no help. Period. There's no hope going on. You're supposed to be the hope. Let me tell you, we can trust in the Lord here. We can let God speak to our heart. We can represent Him in the midst of it. What if the election went the other way? What flesh weapon would you be grabbing? Why do we have any contentment if it went the other way? Because of Christ and Christ alone. Because of His truth, His word, His way. And I got to form my reasoning and thinking about that. It's a battle. Turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. Let's look at the battle a little bit. That we readily accessible. The weapons aren't just right there all the time. They're not as accessible as we think they are. And that's what Paul is saying. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Galatians 5, 16 and following, kind of about three pages to the right in your Bible. Paul writes this. I want you to see this. I want you to see the war that's going on. Listen to it. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for they're in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things which you please. That sound like war? Is that a war for you to walk by the Spirit? Help me, you guys. Do you just wake up every morning and say, woo, I'm just so good, I just walk by the Spirit of God? Do you got to think? Help me, you guys. Do you got to think? Absolutely, you got to think. If you're not thinking, if you think you wake up in the morning and that your existence, the way you live, is walking by the Spirit, I got news for you. It's not. Because you got to think. What is the Spirit saying? What is the Spirit leading? What is the Spirit talking about? What does He want us to do? It doesn't come natural to me. If it comes for you, help me eat your cereal. I'd like it to come natural for me. But you got to think, don't you? You got to think. It's not just readily at hand. And listen, look at what God's word says. You would agree that my way, my thoughts, my revenge, my stuff, my gratitude is easily accessible. Man, I think I'm beautiful every morning. You guys didn't smile at that one. But listen, this is Paul talking about it. Okay, so we got to walk by the Spirit. Look what he says. If you grab a flesh weapon to fight the battle, it's in verse 19. Look at what he said. If you grab a flesh weapon to fight the battle. Here's the deeds of the flesh are evident, which is immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. So he didn't even give us a whole list. So if you grab in the battle for your mind on you to represent Christ and to represent the Lord in the life that you're trying to live and to try to follow the Spirit of God, if you grab a flesh weapon when there's a mental war going on, these things come out in your life. This is what happens. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. Do you know what those are? Sorcery. I'm looking for some sort of other answer than God's word in some mystical way. Enmities. I don't like people. I got battles going on. Strife. Man, you bother me. Jealousy. Look at those people and what they have. Outbursts of anger. Yell at the Taco Bell lady. Go ahead. Disputes, dissensions, factions, sensuality, impurity. Look at it. You grab a flesh weapon, that's where your life goes. And guess what? Everybody in this room goes there. Every one of us. Every single one of us are going there. Every single one of us have this in our life. Because it's a battle for your thinking. When you grab the flesh answer, that's where I go. Is that where you go? Faction? Anger? Envy? Whatever it might be? Strife? Jealousy? When you grab a flesh answer to the mental war you got going on, don't you go right there? Help me. Yes. Certainly you do. This is God speaking to us in his word, why Paul says it's a battle. And if you're going to change and have real change, you have to use the weapons that God has given us that say divinely powerful. Guess what? Paul doesn't even write them in here. They're supposed to be so common. They're not even mentioned. Paul doesn't even say them in the text because we know them. What are the weapons, you guys? What are the weapons? Word of God and the Spirit of God leading our life, right? That's the weapons God's given us. Divinely powerful. 2 Corinthians 6:7 says, for the right and left hand, the word of God, truth, the Spirit leading that guide you according to God's word. Listen, life is 10% of what happens and 90% of what you think about it. Isn't it? It's all happening all the time, but it's all, what we all get messed up is how we think about it. And how was, did God like me there, or was that positive for me, or should I change that, or do I need to go tell the, I mean, it's all about how we think about it, not about what happens, really. Now, when I was going through this, I wrote something down, and God confronted me in my life, and I want to be really careful and gentle with what I have to ask you. And I truly don't, because I know there's really hard things in our life. I know there's really difficult things that we're all going through and things that are there in our life and struggles and all the different kind of things. But I want to be sensitive, but I need to ask this question. And I asked it of myself. But your best thinking, apart from God's truth and being led by the Holy Spirit, your best thinking, where's it gotten you? Anybody got contentment from it? Got any joy, happiness, peace, stability, hope? Really, your best thinking, my best thinking, apart from God's word, God's truth, it helping anybody? See, the reality is it's not. As I've been just praying over all of this and caring about our community and caring about what's going on in our nation and people hurting, I look at people and some of the things that they say and where they're at, and they don't know the Lord, and they're upset about things. And I just think, there go I, in my own reasoning. We understand none of that is helping them, but my own reasonings aren't helping me either. They're not representing the Lord, they're not representing Christ, and it's a battle. The weapons of our warfare are God's truth, and the Spirit leading and guiding us according to His truth. That's all we have. My reasonings don't help. My opinions don't help. My thoughts, my thinking, unless they're on the Word of God, are no good. Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 that there's a washing of God's Word that cleans up and cleanses us our thinking. Husbands are to be washing their wives in the Word of God. We're to be helping in that, but the truth of it is, we have to be being washed with the word to help anybody be washed with the word. Because we all know we don't want each other's opinion. We want what God is having to say. God's truth is to fill our minds. The Holy Spirit is to guide our thoughts. And you have to go get them, really. Ray, thanks for encouraging us last night in just a men's meeting. It really has to be a commitment to follow through. They're not right there. They're not what you normally just grab right away to understand them and apply them for real change. Next concept, look at it with me. Number three in our outline, strongholds are not easily destroyable. So we've covered some things here. We would recognize that there's a battle going on, and that's not primarily physical. It's in our mind. It's for our thinking with other people. Anybody that has children knows that you're trying to encourage them in their mind. It's not a physical battle going on. You can handle that. You can discipline them and get them to do pretty much anything. But what you're trying to minister to is their heart. Get to the heart of the child. We talk about that over and over here, and we promote it here. And that's parents, our children that you're here today, you young, almost adults that are here. That's all mom and dad are trying to do. They're just trying to get to your heart, so the way you think, because they know if we go with our own thinking, life becomes very difficult, and a lot of things come your way that God doesn't want your way. So that's all they're trying to do. Hear me, children, in that that's all your parents are doing, trying to show you, and you're going to think they're nuts, and they're not old, and they don't get it. We all understand how that works in our... But truly, that's all they're trying to do is show you that God's truth, God's way, reason with that, follow that, that's the way you're to go. But strongholds are not easily destroyable. Look at the end of verse 4, what he said. Look what Paul wrote. At the end of verse 4 and verse 5, he says, well, we'll just read all the four. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but the weapons that we do have of warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And we are destroying speculations of every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Stop there. Did you hear what he said? Not even through God's word, God's truth, and the work of the Holy Spirit, even through all of that and divine power of God, that says mighty from God and powerful from God, God's truth, God's word led by the Holy Spirit, truth can bring destruction of the fortresses in your thinking. They can bring to destroy the speculations or reasonings that are raised up against God's truth, but they're not easily destroyed. Now, let me show you how he's saying that. And then, to change your thinking is not easily destroyable. Let me show you how that is in the text. The meaning of the word fortress here is strong points of argument that one trusts in. That's what that means. And so Paul is saying the word of God, the truth of God, and being led by the Holy Spirit is divinely powerful for the destruction of strong points of argument that one trusts in, and each one of us have one. So strong in the heart of man, it's called a fortress or a stronghold in this word. All of us in this room, all of us here have strong points of arguments or reasoning that we trust in that are raised up against God's way and God's truth, and they're not easily destroyable. Let me give you one, old arguments. It's in your outline there, old arguments. The old arguments you just always had that this is what it's about, this is why it's here. Think it can be from your family. It can be a tradition from your family, and it's been carried down to you, and it's an old argument, an old thing that this is what Christ is doing, this is what God is doing, and then it's really held up against what God says in his word. But it's what we do, it's who we are, it's how we think, it's just how what we are. It's about this, it's about this, it's about this. Well, you know what? I've learned that everything that like that in my life, I need to just come to the Lord and say, Lord, just help me. You tell me what it's about. Because I have some strong holds of disposition in my life. And let me illustrate it for you. And each of us do. You know, we're all bent in a certain way. Here's a hanger, and I was practicing with it, so you can tell it's bent a lot. It doesn't even have the thing in there, Omar. But you have a bent. You have a bent the way you think, the way you reason, the way you, you have a bent. We're human beings. We have strong minds. We have a bent. We're just an angry family. You just have to deal with us. And God says, no. We got to change that reasoning. Because anger is not of the Lord. And you can use that in your life that we're an angry, we're just, you know what? We're to ourselves. We're quiet. We're just really reserved and we're to ourselves. Nothing wrong with it. But God says, no, I want you to be bold for Christ. I'm going to straighten that bent up. But if you're going to say, that's my bent, man, you don't mess with my bent? My disposition? Listen, am I talking to people like me? You have a bent. You have a disposition that God wants to work on. It can be a family heritage. It can be this, and this is God's word and God's truth. You know what? The parents are trying to teach you, children, the truth of God's word, so the bent that they brought into your life, God can use to straighten out, because they see, man, I don't want my bent in that child of mine. I see my own. And so Paul is talking about, that's a stronghold. That's a point of reasoning. That's a strong point of argument that I trust in, and it's an argument that I'm sure of. And you know, it's a bent of mine. Don't mess with that one. They're hard to let go. They're hard to let go. Life's about this. Well, let me show you the Word of God. I don't care what God's Word said. I'll tell you, life's about that. You know, I could say a few right now, but you guys would throw tomatoes at me. Because you got some bents, and I know about them. When we preached in God's word, your faces just went, mm-mm. No, that's not good. That's not the bent that we're living on for over here. I'm going to stay out of there. You know, we do this because it seems to work, or it's okay. Or how I get what I want, or what works for me. I'm just angry. I'm just quiet. This is how I am. Next. Opinions, look at your outline. Strongholds are not easy to destroy, but because old arguments make sense to you. Old opinions felt good. Man, the opinion of me really feels good. I have a good self-opinion. I think I can dance and sing and hit a golf ball pretty far. And I, you know what? I got to deal with me, right? Opinions feel good, don't they? Come on, you guys, right? Old opinions felt good. If God's word starts dealing with my opinions, this is how I was feeling good. God don't deal with my opinions, okay, because they feel good. Those are hard to give up. I got a lofty opinion of self. I'm better than you. Anybody got that one? Listen, the mind's strong. Listen to Romans 12. Don't turn there, because I need to buzz along here, but listen to Romans 12:3. I love what Paul says here. I've been really studying Romans 12 because right in there it says, renew the mind. I've been really going through this as I've been working on this section of scripture. And I told you, like back in, I don't know, May, June, I was really focused on, man, I can't wait for chapter 10. But listen to what he says in verse 3. He says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, I can only say this because of the grace of God in my life. I can only tell you this. I can only tell you this because of the grace of God that I have experienced, that I know, that God has brought in my life, that God has worked in my life by grace. I can say this to everyone among you. That's all of us, you guys. You, me, everybody that reads the Bible. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. By the grace of God, let me tell you guys, I've learned it from the grace of God that when I think too highly of me, it really kind of goes sideways, and God has really humbled me, and God really wants to humble all of us, but he's humbled me enough that I can just tell everybody, boy, don't think too highly of yourself. That's a tremendous lesson, isn't it? But listen to what he says next. But to think so as to have sound judgment as God allotted at each measure of faith. I need to put my hanger up. I'll just bend it all the time I'm up here. But let me read that again, because that's such an important part that he said next. Listen to what he said next. So don't think highly of yourself. Don't have lofty thoughts about yourself, thinking more of yourself, big opinion of yourself. He says this, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God has allotted to you a measure of faith that gives you the abilities and talents and treasures and all the things that you have in this world by that God has given you a measure that he decided of faith, a belief, of trust in God. We all have faith in God. We all have trust in God. But there's measures of it that God has got going on because he has a plan and purpose for your life. But listen to what he says. But we must think about ourselves so as to have sound judgment. You know what that says? This is what that says. To put a moderate estimation upon oneself, to think of oneself soberly. Christians are the most stubborn-filled people with right opinions. That's a good place for an amen. They are the most stubborn-filled people with right opinions. Preferences, right opinions. Listen, what we do is we take doctrinal certainty. We're to have doctrinal certainty. We are. We're supposed to have doctrinal certainty. We have to know the truth of God. No, this is the doctrine. These are the truths of by Christ alone, through faith alone, all that we could go through. But then we take doctrinal certainty, and I'll apply it to my opinion. Let me tell you, I'm a serious, I got as much certainty as about the salvation through Christ as I do on my opinion. And it's certain because it's my opinion. We have to work on our thinking. Our opinions are okay. Our convictions are okay. The things that we have in our life. But we're not to think too highly of ourselves. Next, look what he says, or what I have in the outline. Old minds oppose God. That would be true. The old way of my thinking, the way of the flesh, the way of the old self, has to be destroyed. It's in the text in chapter 10 there. That's what's raising up speculations against the knowledge of God. That's the fortress that's in my life. It's the old way of thinking. It's the old way. It's the world's way, and it's still in you. It's still in me, and it has to be destroyed. None of it's any good. Zero. Write a big zero right there. None of it. The old mind opposes God, your old way of thinking. We can go through the scriptures we want, but I'll just say this. Sin doesn't help. The reasonings of human wisdom, man's wisdom, doesn't help. It isn't good. It's corrupted according to the word of God. It's to be put off. It's to be rejected. Jesus came to save you from that. Your old way of thinking. Your old way of thinking is no good. It doesn't help. Well, that's hard, isn't it? It actually opposes God. It does. And the last one, the old patterns come naturally. We would know that. I have scriptures for all of this, but the old patterns come naturally. The way of the world flows naturally through humanity. It's just how the lost works. It's just how the old man reasons and thinks. Of course, the little boy on the tricycle naturally went around and around the track for self-gratification. And of course, the other little boy that came up to him naturally said, "No, you won't." Boom, throw you over. That's how you and me naturally think. That's how it comes naturally. It's hard to destroy these strongholds. They're hard to get over. God has to work in our heart and mind to change the way we think. It's just not about knowing the truth. It's about how I apply and reason and go forward in God's truth. It's the only way that this gets pulled down. It's just not about knowing. Pastor Craig was encouraging us, it's about being a doer of God's word. We're going to get into renewing our mind. And what Paul says at the end of 5, look at this. We're to be taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You and me, that's what he's talking about. We're to take it captive. Captive is to take prisoner. It has to go. It has to be rejected. We're taking it prisoner. It isn't, if it isn't obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, if it isn't to obedience of Christ, if it's a thought, a reasoning that isn't obeying Christ, we have to take it captive. We have to make it prisoner. We're not to have no more unfiltered thoughts in our life. We're not to have any thoughts or thinking that is in opposition to God's truth and God's way. And when we do, we're to take them captive. They're not defensible. They're not biblical. And they're not helpful. You're to arrest it. That's what Paul said. They're not. They have to be arrested. Real change doesn't happen if you don't think differently, does it? And that's what I'm getting to, the battle. We're going to look next week at renewing our mind, but we have to settle in our hearts that this isn't like, okay, well, you know, I sang 4 praise songs, and you know, I wrote a prayer down, and I kind of listened to the message, and then I went away for the week, and here I am on Sunday, and that's not going to change your mind, you guys. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It's a fight. It's a war. It's a warfare. We've really won because of Jesus Christ already. But to be a soldier for the Lord, to be one that's going to fight for the Lord, the one that's going to represent the Lord, you're going to have to fight in the way that you think and continually grow in your understanding of God and His truth. Because this is the direction. It's going to be that way. Last thought, close with this, verse 6. Until you make an engagement personally, not much change comes. Do you guys know that? Verse 6, and we're ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Paul is really just talking about, if you don't get engaged, if you don't get into this, if you don't that, really not much change happens, and that's just true. You know, I talk with a lot of people. I counsel a lot of people. They come and they got this going on, they got that going on, and they got this happening and that kind of thing. And I can lay out God's principles. Here's the attitude God has for us here. Here's the practice that God has for us here. Here's what God wants us to look at. Here's the action that God wants us to have. Just take a marriage and a couple coming in and things aren't working out. And I can counsel them and I can talk to them about God's word. And that, you know, I can explain, husband, love your wives like Christ loved the church. I can talk about the other side, what God has. We can get all the principles laid out and all of that. But you guess what? If they're not in, useless. Waste of time. Except to prompt them, to show them, to reveal to them that they see that they're not really in. But really, if they're not, all the principles in the world, all God's truth, all God's way, all God's reasoning, all of this, if it's just fallen on just, okay, is it going to fix my problem today? Is it going to make my life better today? Is it going to make me a little happier the next moment? It really doesn't change your thinking. You're just looking for behavioral adjustments. And see, if you're here today and you know this is you, and you know what? This is me. Don't let me ever teach that God isn't dealing with Pastor Ken's heart each and every week. If this is you, all God wants you to say is, I'm in. And let him change your life. It's incredible what God can do with a little bit of truth that you say, I'm going to embrace. Because you can know the whole Bible, and if you're not in it, no change is happening. Not a bit. It's not about knowing the word. It's about knowing the God of the word and applying the word that God has given you, and God transforms your life. And that never stops. That never stops. And so this is encouragement. Yes, it's a battle. God says, hey, I'm on your side. Let me tell you, I got the big cannons. I'm here for you, God says. I sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. I rescued you, delivered you. I saved you from all of this. And I'm not condemning you or punishing you or against you in any shape, form, or means that you fall short. I'm just here to take up arms with you and fight. For his glory. What an incredible God we have, isn't it? What an incredible God that we have that is this way. So next week, what we're going to go is, how do we renew our mind? How does God help us with that? It's going to be dynamic. It's going to be really encouraging on how that happens. Because God's been teaching me and showing me on how to renew mine. And I just want to share with you through God's word on how he's revealed that to me. Let's pray. God our Father, that's enough today, isn't it? That through your Son, Jesus Christ, you came to rescue us, to redeem us, to make us your children. Yes, you desire for us to represent you here. Yes, you desire for us to be your church and to have compassion for each other and for the hearts that are lost and to represent Christ each and every opportunity here, Lord. And we're journeying that way, stumbling along the way, tripping up, all of the things that are happening. But you're a perfect Father, correcting me when I need corrected, talking to me down at my level, coming right down, kneeling in front of me and talking to me where I am at. That's what you are to each one of us. Desiring that no man perish, but everybody come to the blessing of eternal life. Make us like you, Lord. Keep shaping us and helping us be more like you, to forgive each other, to confess to each other, to encourage each other, to hold each other, to cry with each other, to love each other. To love the lost. And as we sang today, Lord, what you've prepared for us that awaits is beyond imagination. You just ask us in this temporal life to live in such a manner, and you'll bring it all to completion then. We thank you so much for today's opportunity. We thank you so much for your word of God. And for the truth really is the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm just fighting with you, Lord. What a great God, we have. We give you praise in your Son's name. Amen. We're dismissed for today.